curse on your grave. I'll be on my way. There's no time to stay with the enemies I've made. I'm invincible. You might say despicable. Punishment's reciprocal. Public enemy number one. I'm unbeatable. My mind is untreatable. Crimes unrepeatable. Public enemy number one. Watch the authorities come undone. With every standoff that I've won. Flirting death just for fun. Public enemy number one. Born a fugitive father's son. Another heist of a bank is done. And the trouble has just begun. Roses on your grave. I'll be on my way. There's no time to stay with the enemies I've made. I'm invincible.
All right, folks, that is the new hit single, Public Enemy Number One. The new album is 13. Of course, it's Megadeth, Dave Mustaine. And when we come back in the next segment, we're going to play part of We the People that is extremely powerful with this message of liberty and freedom. Dave Mustaine joins us. We're about to go to break, but let's go ahead and bring Dave up right now. Dave, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Wow. Good morning.
To all your listeners.
Absolutely. Good morning to all of them. I'm sorry I woke you up yesterday when I called you.
Oh, that's all right. Got to sleep sometime.
You know, I had missed Jimmy Kimmel Live. I don't think I've ever seen you dress up as a Halloween character, much less Frankenstein.
you know, it's funny. I was telling the guys over at Kimmel that when I was 18, I was hanging out with the wrong kind of people and actually had gotten arrested that night dressed up like Eddie from Iron Maiden. But fortunately, that was, you know, it was just one of those young and dumb things, and they let me go. They just wanted to make sure I wasn't some wacko dressed up like Eddie. They'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, pretty scary, especially
plus the
when
the top of the hatchet didn't help.
Oh, the hatchet part.
Yeah, it was from the album cover Killers, the very first one when Eddie was, that was the first Iron Maiden record I'd heard.
Yeah, that's a scary album cover. He's got blood all over him with the hatchet, and he's got a leering smile.
Yeah, he's winking.
Well, wow, the new album has raced up to the very top of the charts. Congratulations. It only came out, what, yesterday?
You know, I'm so excited about everything that's happening. We've got such a great campaign right now. The folks at Roadrunner and the folks with my management and all of our representatives with our agency and everything have just really get this one out of the park. Just paying attention to what, you know, my goals are, what I want to do, and what I have left to do on my bucket list you know, I mean, who would have thought just, you know, a month and a half ago I would be standing on a stage in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, you've got the Big Four, one of the hottest concerts in the world right now, one of the biggest concerts in the world, and you're about to travel down to South America to giant crowds. Dave Mustaine's our guest. The full interview straight ahead live. It's November 2nd. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, for the next 25 minutes or so, Dave Mustaine joins us. Of course, he was on Jimmy Kimmel a few nights ago and brought down the house. His new album kicked off November 1st and has raced to the top of the charts across the board. The new album is 13. He has the single Public Enemy Number One. We opened up the start of the show with. Coming up before he leaves us, we'll play at least part of We the People, I think my favorite piece off of the new album. We'll give you the websites and more. Of course, it's been put out by Roadrunner Records. Dave Mustaine joins us from his home in San Diego. Dave, great to have you here with us again.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Wow, the Big Four, the biggest concert in the world right now. I mean, Am I wrong, or is Megadeth turbocharged right now?
Yeah, we're basically turbocharging it.
I mean, you guys are taking it up to the next level. So much is going on. What is on Dave Mustaine's mind right now?
Well, we leave Monday for South America. We've got Giganto coming up next year. I've got this incredible new thing from a company called Rock Prodigy coming out. It's a guitar application that basically I'm inside of your iPad or your iPhone teaching you how to play guitar. That's going to be coming out next week. It's Public Enemy in that. Couple other really great Megadeth songs, Holy Wars and Tornado of Souls too, and stuff like that. And we're going to be heading over next year to Europe to make up what we missed out. You know, doing the Big Four thing was so huge. There was a lot of little cities that got skipped in between that we like to play. So we got a lot of things we got to make up.
Tell us about the Big Four. Are we going to see more of that?
I hope so. You know, that was totally unplanned. Something that came out of the blue, just like my book. The success of that was mind-blowing, too. You know, having all these things happen is just really, it's foreign for me. So having an opportunity to go and play, again, another Big Four show, yeah, of course we'd do it. Problem is that the four outfits, all four of us are so thick that to get all four groups free in the same neck of the woods and able to do this, it's a big undertaking.
Well, it is. I mean, you're trying to get four hugely successful, you know, top metal bands together at the same time. That's got to be rough when you guys are all in such demand across the world. You know, looking at the numbers, I mean, Megadeth is probably my favorite rock band of all time. But when you look at the entire genre, it seems that heavy metal itself is even more popular now outside of the United States. Is that fair to say, Dave?
You know, it's funny, Alex, because when times are rough, people, they buckle down, and heavy metal is I believe, the anthem of people, the underdog, and persevering. A lot of the lyrics that we talk about has to do with the, you know, fighting the good fight, and a lot of the music, it has that turbocharged feeling you were talking about. It gives us something to look forward to sometimes. You know, a lot of people work out to metal and stuff like that, but especially politically when we're in, you know, times like we are right now globally in our own country and in some of our own cities, you know, heavy metal is just music that's really popular with the feelings that everybody's experiencing right now.
Well, it is. Getting into the album itself, what is your favorite track if you had to pick one? And tell us about a few of the songs that are on the new album.
You know, I hate to sound cliche, but it changes from day to day. Depending on what part of the day, too. It's, you know, sometimes I like listening to the really aggressive stuff in the morning when I'm working out, and other times the last thing I want to do is wake up and listen to something like Never Dead because it's just, all right, let's go! But for me, I think probably politically the song "We the People" you were talking about is really touches home for me. 13 is important too. That was pretty much putting my life story into one song, and it's so hard to do that. I was looking at all the songs I wrote the other day yesterday, where we launched our new version of our website to go with our new record. I looked at this long list of all the songs that I'd written, and it was overwhelming to think each one of those is actually something I sat down and put pen to paper and had melodies and stuff like that, because you only think about your whole body of work when you're not concentrating on it, it just kind of goes past. I mean, unless you're self-obsessed.
Well, I noticed that you've got some of the same themes along the Liberty line that you've always discussed in the lyrics, but you've got titles like "We the People," of course, the last album "Endgame," you know, getting into global extermination and things beyond Megadeth. But politically, right now, I mean, obviously, there's a message in this record, and I think that's why out of the gates, it's gone to the top of the charts. What's your view on Occupy Wall Street? All the things that are happening in the world right now, the microphones they're putting in streetlights. What's Dave Mustaine's view on that?
Well, I didn't hear anything about the streetlights being outfitted with microphones until just yesterday. So it doesn't surprise me. You know, I read 1984 when I was really young. I also read Animal Farm, which is, I'm sure, somehow ties into our present also. But, all of this stuff I've sang about for years. And, I mean, I don't consider myself a prophet by any means. I read books and paid attention when I was supposed to. So a lot of the things that I've learned and that I sing about is stuff we've all heard, stuff you hear in Sunday school, stuff that you hear, growing up in public school or private school, if you're so fortunate. And I think that, this record, when you look at all the stuff that I've written about it, I try and stay away from the political side, but it just happens. it's kind of like you bleed it. You start writing it, and then all of a sudden it goes from a love song into a political song.
Well, there was a case that came out today where a guy went into Walmart with a baseball bat and told some old veteran they wanted money, and he wouldn't give it to him, so they beat him over the head. I mean, I saw your quote on the Australian radio show where you talked about the fact that you'd never thought you'd see a president playing groups off against each other like is happening right now. I mean, this is desperate class warfare, but then I see the White House and the Republicans to a great extent bought and paid for by the more corrupt elements of Wall Street that have gotten rich off bailout money. I mean, we already pay a record amount of taxes. When is this going to end?
I don't know. I mean, I have my own philosophy based on my faith, but that's personal to me, and I don't want to get into it on the air because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that don't agree with me, so I don't want to piss anybody off. But, for me, I know how it'll be end. So, and I know I'm on the winning side, so I'm cool with all that. And even if I'm wrong, I'm definitely living better today than I was before. I changed my approach towards faith. I look at the statement that I made, about this divisiveness that's happening. It's real easy when you're the most powerful man in the world to say, enough, guys, let's put an end to this. I don't understand for the life of me. It's like the more I pay attention to politics, the more I don't want to pay attention to it. And the more it seems like, Sarah Connor knew what she was doing.
Yeah, run to the hills. Absolutely.
It's funny, and the more that you talk to people on the street, the more people are preparing for some kind of almost like a final battle or something. It's really weird. I mean, I'm not talking to a bunch of factions or anything like that. Cults out here or anything like that. Not by any means, but just talking to people that are scared. They're scared.
Well, people should be, and when a hurricane's coming in days before it even forms, or an earthquake, birds, mice, animals, they know something's coming. Humans have that same discernment, sixth sense, whatever you want to call it. And government itself is digging in, is building bunkers. And I saw an ABC News article last week about middle-class people now in mass setting up doomsteads and things. Even though the government's saying everything's fine, we're not in a depression, go back to sleep, people instinctively or spiritually are gearing up for something. And I know that I have never really geared up for stuff, and now I've been doing it myself, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people used to rely on the media for all of their information, and now with the, even though the internet is full of a bunch of controversy and it's rife with the, misinformation and disinformation, I know that it's also an outlet for a lot of people to be able to purvey the truth and people who maybe not people that would know me at all, so they don't appreciate what I got to say. But when you have the elite that are paying for the media, they tell you what you want to hear. And I know that when I go overseas and I see the other TV that's on, like, for example, the difference between CNN in America and CNN overseas, it's like two totally different networks. And when you're over in, say, Japan, for example, and you're watching the news there, it's totally different. Totally different what they show us.
It is. It is. You can see that the system is putting out different flavors of propaganda depending on what population they're talking to targeting. Why did you, I mean, we know why you picked the name of the last album, Endgame. Why the iconography of 13 and you've got the Megadeth corporate skull man with the hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing Three Monkeys, but he's turned around staring into some type of abyss. Can you break down your vision? Because I know you always basically come up with the covers. The vision we're seeing here in this album cover for the new album 13 by Megadeth.
It's not that clever, really, Alex. It's the 13th record in my career. I started playing when I was 13. I was born on the 13th. People think that the number 13 is bad. Well, it wasn't for me. My life started on that day, and I know that the association with the superstition and the bad side of 13 had to do with the Templar Knights or something like that.
Yeah, that's when the Catholic Church rounded them up and killed a bunch of them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I know that 13 shows up all over the place, and it's funny how much now, even more so that we've used this number. It's like when your old lady gets pregnant, all of a sudden you see pregnant women everywhere, or you buy a Volkswagen and you realize everybody's got the same color Volkswagen. As soon as I leaned on 13, it all of a sudden started popping up everywhere. And then the actual logo itself with the word 13 and the number 13 inside of it, that was our artist, John Lorenzi, who came up with that. When I first saw that, I went, wow, that's really clever.
Now, Dave, we've only got about 10 minutes left with you here, and I appreciate your time. I know you've been talking a ton and singing, and you're about to go on the road, and I don't want to burn you out here, but there's so many questions I want to go over. Hopefully you will come back with us, maybe even in studio here in Austin in the next few months when you get back from your South America tour.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Well, it was great actually seeing you up there in person in Dallas, I guess a year and a half ago. How time flies. Now,
yeah, that's a long time ago.
I think because of time constraints, after you leave us, I'm going to come back and actually play my favorite new tune on the album, We the People. But specifically, what are you talking about here? I mean, the lyrics speak for themselves, but what are you saying in We the People?
Wow. I think I'm saying what everybody's saying right now, that they're pissed. What happened to all of the things that our grandparents worked for and set up? I mean, you watch the dollar plummet, you see Social Security and all of these benefits that people had taken away. You watch these corrupt bankers take people's life savings and it disappears into a vapor. And then you have people like Madoff saying that he's happier, he's in jail, and that people look up to him there. Well, the only difference between him is that the criminals are wearing jumpsuits instead of three-piece suits, it's all the same, right? And to think about all these people who've their lives have changed forever because of this, the people who are defenseless, that's the thing that pisses me off. And while we were watching everything that was going on with I didn't even know the word that I want to say, but just the immovability of the people in Congress and the people in the Senate and how the White House is all frozen right now, and it's mind-boggling. Somebody has to do something. There's got to be an American up there somewhere.
There's got to be. Looking at the Euro crisis that we predicted in the Obama deception, engineered implosion, and now they're setting up a banking dictatorship. And did you see it last week when the Pope called for global government?
Yeah, I did. I saw that for the global currency, too, yeah.
Wow, I mean, how could you, at 20 years old, I mean, I remember, 25, 30 years ago, listening to your stuff before you were even in Metallica, because I had neighbors that were all, into speed metal, thrash metal, when I was like 9 years old. I'm only 37. How were you writing about things like this? Because, I mean, people ask how I was politically formed. Some of it was listening to Megadeth.
Right, thank you, I think.
Look what you've done, Dave.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
The great thing about helping people unleash their mind and let them become free thinkers is that the world's a fascinating place, and that we're so capable of doing so much good. And sometimes people don't agree with us, and they can mistake, what we do. Good is sometimes the enemy of great. But, for me, doing this kind of music, singing these kind of songs, having these kind of lyrics, I guess in some way I'm just doing my part, I believe, to make the world a better place through heavy metal music, even though that sounds, like you should be having some kind of a nursery rhyme in the background or something, or some circus music or something. It's true. I don't know how to play another type of music. This is what I was given, and it's what I love. And being able to educate people is great. I mean, I know you know when you've talked to one your listeners or you've met somebody out on the road, and they get that aha moment where their eyes just dilate, and all of a sudden they're like, I get it. I love that feeling.
No, that's the real magic in the world. You know, they say the root of all evil is money. No, it's not. You know, this world system gets people to sell out for money they create out of nothing. What the system is really after is trafficking in the souls of men. This ruling Illuminati system, from my deep research, is interested in our minds and our souls. It wants to program us. What's your take on that statement, Dave?
Well, going back, that scripture, actually, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of incomplete. As far as the Illuminati and the elite and everything like that, it's hidden in plain sight. All of the maneuvering that's going on. All anybody has to do, if they're curious, is look. When you saw, people talking about the New World Order, the reason the New World Order's on this new record was because when I sang about it, 12 years ago, it was a demo song, and it never got released officially. And because of the content in the song, I had to sing that song on this new record. So New World Order's on 13. And watching that stuff happen as a little kid and having people say, oh, one day, there's going to be the cataclysmic end of the world, and it's going to happen when you see all this stuff going on in Israel and in the Middle East and all this stuff where everybody can agree and have $1 and one church and one boss. And it's like, wow, is that possible? And now you see it they're even talking about it. Who would have even imagined talking about that?
Who would imagine the Pope coming out and saying one world currency, global government, bank of the world? It was the official church organ put that out. I mean, that is just incredible, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, this is a very incredible world we live in, and we have a lot of power. People can rise up and say no.
Well, look at the testament to how many people you've reached. And again, that's God's plan. But different people hit different sectors of society, and your whole life has been a journey to bring you to where you are now. And I know there's a lot more ahead, hopefully, from Dave Mustaine and Megadeth. Folks can go to Megadeth with an E in the death, megadeth.com, or just type in Dave Mustaine or Megadeth into your search engine. The first thing will lead you to their site. You can get the book, Mustaine, A Life in Metal. Dave, I want to have you back after you're done touring for a respite for a full hour on the book. I've actually ordered a copy. I'm going to read it. And I'm really enjoying the new album. I think it's even better than Endgame. And I thought Endgame was extremely powerful, especially the lyrics. But man, this new album feels like vintage Megadeth, but with something even better added to it.
I agree. Thanks.
In the time we've got left here, we're going to come back here and play We the People after you're gone. Dave, Metallica, I mean, it is so good, to see you, of course, who was right there at the beginning of Metallica and influenced it so much. And that's obviously another amazing band who I admire and grew up listening to. And with all its political lyrics, Justice for all of that. But it's good to see you on the Big Four tour with them and hearing that you guys have, really gotten to be good friends again.
We always had a friendship, although a lot of times it was strained. That was a lot to do with the media. Lars and I were doing an interview over in Europe recently, and he had said, we have these two relationships, the one that we have and then the one that the press thinks we have. And it's unfortunate because we had such an incredible thing that we created. Changed the world. I mean, there's not a guitar player that I know that plays the heavy metal riff that their life hasn't been touched by what me and James did on guitar. And it's really neat to be able to, at the end of the day, know that you've done such an incredible thing. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's a little hard. There's the times where I wish that none of that stuff had ever happened and that I was still in the band, but we got two great bands now, and James and I are close. Lars and I are close, and who knows? I'm hoping there's more Big Four stuff. I personally think that we've done the East Coast and the West Coast. Now we need to do a Big Four smack dab right in the middle around Dallas or Austin, maybe.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Well, Dave, again, look forward to speaking to you in the future. Bon voyage and be safe down in South America. And then, of course, more tour dates coming up after that next year here in the United States, correct?
Yes. We've got Gigantor starting the beginning of January. What's the date that starts? I think it's towards the latter part of January, yeah. But you can find that at Gigantor.com, too, with Motorhead, Bolt, and Liquid Coil. That's going to be in the States.
Amazing. Dave, I'll say bye to you during the break. Thank you for all the time, and hopefully you'll be in studio with us sooner rather than later. That's Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, the new album, 13, available everywhere, iTunes, you name it, but right there at Megadeth.com. I'm Alex Jones. Jesse Ventura is coming up and a lot more. Stay with us. Gentlemen, one world government, one world everything. That's only part of We the People. They've got 13 tracks on 13, and the whole thing basically exposes the New World Order and tyranny. And I'm hearing this more and more with Muse and with the Foo Fighters and with Rush. They are all speaking out against the New World Order and tyranny now. But if you go back, Megadeth was talking about all this stuff 20 years ago. Hard to believe, 30 years ago. How old was I when I was about 10? Yeah, that's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about for 25, 30 years, talking about those issues. I don't normally like to have a big guest right at the start of the show, but Dave and I talked some, and he'd been talking about sometime popping into town and just being in studio, but he just got too booked to do it a few weeks ago. And So I kind of forgotten about getting him on when the album came out. We discussed that. And then, boom, I called him yesterday. Didn't know he'd been on Jimmy Kimmel, dressed up like Frankenstein. Never seen anything like it, and woke him up at about 9 a.m. his time. And then he set up the interview today. And let me tell you, all of these top musicians and people, I'll guarantee you, and I'll just leave it at that, have people pressuring him, you know, not to cover certain subjects. But you notice Dave still does. And, boy, he really knows a lot. Someday I want to do a hardcore interview where he really lets it all hang out and shows you the real Dave Mustaine. I mean, you saw the real Dave Mustaine in the interview some, but he really is smart. He really knows his stuff. He really studies the New World Order. Well, hell, he named his last album after Endgame, my film. Let me give you an idea. But this new one, I got to say, I wish that the album that is named after one of my films was better than 13, but 13 is far better. I mean, Endgame is a great album, but this is powerful. Good to see Megadeth churning some stuff out like that. Another signpost illustrating how awake people are getting across the world, and the fact that people have been awake for a long time are now coming out in a bold way against tyrants. Now, it just so happened that Dave Mustaine was on today, and this is the day Jesse Ventura can come on. So we're going to get Ventura on with us. He's scheduled for the entire next hour, and we'll get into a host of interesting issues. I don't know how much he'll get into on air. Like I said, I wish you – I mean, Ventura is the real Ventura. He's one of the most bona fide, real people that I know, but maybe I shouldn't get Ventura saying some, get him going on some subjects, but just amazing. So Jesse Ventura is scheduled to be coming up. You know, I didn't even know that. Well, I'm not going to get into it. I'll just leave it at that. Interesting interview with Dave Mustaine. Again, another signpost illustrating the fact that the public is waking up when music like this is at the top of the charts. It's at the top of the metal charts, and it's in the last I checked yesterday, like in the top 10 of the rock charts. Period, and that's good for an album that came out on the first day doing that. I noticed topping Metallica and some of their new stuff in the charts. So very, very exciting to have Dave Mustaine, who will reach hundreds of millions of people. I mean, he goes to Brazil and places. They'll have 2-3 million people chanting with the lyrics there. And you talk about 1776 worldwide. You talk about the liberty and freedom movement worldwide. People like Dave Mustaine really getting hardcore in the fight for liberty is a powerful tool in awakening this planet to the globalist. I mean, you just heard those lyrics, or if you're not somebody that's attuned to listening to music like that and weren't quite making them out, it's talking about world government, global everything, total tyranny, and a global declaration of independence against it. That is so incredibly exciting to have things like that going on. And again, I can only commend Dave Mustaine and the rest of his great band and crew for their courage in doing what they're doing. And you notice No Guts, No Glory. This album is now going to surge up to number one, and is surging up to number one because it is hardcore and people want the truth. So don't keep your light hidden under a bushel, as they say. Now, I shot a video driving home last night because I'm you know, having to get geared up for the 24-hour plus live transmission that kicks off tomorrow at 11 a.m. And I was driving home. Aaron Dykes was doing the nightly news. But I went ahead and just shot an iPhone video and uploaded it up. And the guys put it at the beginning of the nightly news. And it had the headline, Greece on the Verge of Collapse. And I saw the classic COINTELPRO who were there within seconds of one of our videos going live on YouTube. And we took that and put it on the start of the nightly news. Within seconds, they give it negative votes, even though it always ends up being about 95 positive, 5% negative. Sometimes 99% positive, 1% negative. The haters are waiting. Dozens of them, full-time paid assets. And the government admits they have these megaphone programs. And the sock puppet programs is also what they call it, where they popped in immediately and said, you're a fearmonger, you're full of baloney, nothing's going to collapse. I had stacks of mainstream news articles. In fact, I've got it over here in my stack. Headline, Euro on the verge of collapse. Greece on the verge of collapse, talking about firing their Joint Chiefs of Staff. First they were going to have a referendum on giving up all their sovereignty and going into austerity in the euro. Then they weren't going to do it. Then they were. Then they weren't. Stock markets gyrating wildly. And there's that COINTELPRO saying, Alex is exaggerating. It's not on the verge of collapse. Here's the New York Times this morning. Give me a document cam shot. I'll show folks. Greek cabinet backs call for referendum on debt crisis. It was Zero Hedge that first broke yesterday that they had not spiked it, as Papandreou was saying. With the government teetering on the verge of collapse, the Greek cabinet offered its full support early today to Prime Minister George A. Papandreou for his surprise plan to call a referendum on the Greek financial crisis. Again, with the government teetering on the verge of collapse. That's why I said. And then if it doesn't collapse, they go, look, you're wrong. I said teetering on the verge. Teetering on the verge is our headline. Teetering. It's like if I'm teetering on a cliff, doesn't mean I'm going to fall off. I give you real analysis. I give you real information. I told you they'd announce a bank of the world and a global currency as the solution of the European crisis in the Obama deception 3 years ago. I told you that 15 years ago because I'm reading globalist documents that are public. I told you they're adding sterilants to the vaccines because I have the documents. My job is really quite easy. I actually listen to what the globalists are saying, and I'll dig out some more articles. I forgot to do it because I was busy talking today before we went live. I've got the articles from yesterday about, in fact, just type it into the search engine, Euro on the verge of collapse. Euro could collapse within days. This is what the world really is in this position. Now, 2.5 weeks ago, Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst, Bob Baer, former top CIA black op commander, George Herbert Walker Bush's and George W. Bush's top Iran specialist, all of them came out and said, this Iran did not do this used car salesman wanting to kill the Saudi ambassador and blow stuff up in D.C. This has got to be fake as a political stunt to launch a war on Iran. Yeah, there it is. Greek government may collapse on Friday. That's mainstream news. Berlusconi's coalition on the verge of collapse. You can pull up the articles about pull up Euro on the verge of collapse, and you'll get dozens of Times, London, Financial Times. No, you did put in Euro on the verge of collapse. It's just bringing up the Greek stuff. You can look deeper; it'll come up. The point is that all of this is happening. All of this is going on, and this is real. Now, let me continue. All of my sources, day one, and my own research said they're getting ready. They've delivered bunker busters and cluster bombs to Israel. Israel thinks Iran's building a nuke. They attacked in 81 the Iraqi nuclear power plant and blew it up. They attacked in 2007 the Syrian secret facility. Remember that? And I said, look, the word we've got, and I've had families been sent to Kuwait. I talked to an Air Force officer on the plane last Tuesday. I've got all these other sources, and they all, well, my cousin wouldn't say, but the point is, all these sources are saying, yes, Israel is intending to strike Iran. And I said within 2 weeks is what I've been told, and now it's been 2 weeks. Or, as others have said, before the deep winter kicks in the next month. I don't know. All I know is we're on the verge of seeing a strike on Iran and all the craziness that comes from that. What is in Sky Television? That's Fox News of England, of Europe. Israel considers preemptive attack on Iran. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to rally support in his cabinet for an attack on Iran, according to government sources. And see, they tried this staged deal, whether you're for attacking Iran or not. It's admitted it was staged that Iranian, who it turned out was working for the Iranian opposition groups in Washington, they were the ones that set him up, even if you believe he was really an idiot patsy who thought he was going to do this, and the known pothead drug dealer idiot, reportedly, is that they're trying to set it up right now. They're trying to get it right now. They're trying to get this system through. That fell on its face because a bunch of elements of the Pentagon, like Colonel Schaefer, who came out and said it was all a pretext to attack Iran, are coming out and saying it's bull. Hundreds of analysts total. Steve Pachinik. The list goes on and on. The green light is on. Now, it dimmed down to almost nothing But then the White House said, well, we've got more people saying that there's other plots by Iran to attack us. And so Netanyahu is now publicly in the Knesset. He is now publicly in the Knesset and in his cabinet trying to get his own cabinet. He fired, he got rid of the old head of the Mossad over this. He got rid of the defense minister earlier this year or late last year over all of this. I mean, this is really going on. This is really happening. This is really unfolding. And so there you have it right there. This is Sky News. Israel considers preemptive attack on Iran. He's going before the Knesset and the parliament asking for it and saying they're preparing to do it. No kidding. They just released 1,000 Palestinians out of their jails. The Washington Times sources, who know people inside his cabinet, said Netanyahu thinks that he's going to end up being like Churchill against Hitler and that he's going to strike him. I mean, what more do you need? The point is, Cheney came within inches of being able to stage an attack on U.S. ships in the Strait of Hormuz to blame it on Iran. That came out in New Yorker magazine, Cy Hirsch, Pulitzer Prize winner. The system is galloping towards this now. Does that mean it's going to happen? No. Just because you're on the edge of a cliff doesn't mean you're going to fall off. We need to pull back from this. Three times in the last 6 years, there's been imminent war with Iran, and the public got the word out. The public said no. The majority of Israelis don't want this attack. His own military advisors don't want this attack. The Mossad has told him not. I mean, the Mossad certainly doesn't shrink from a fight or greenlighting a war. 3 weeks ago, Leon Panetta, the director of the Defense Department, he came back. And he said Israel is totally isolated now and may basically attack Iran. And again, it's all over the news. So we're not saying there's going to be an attack. What we're saying is he is in the Knesset trying to get authorization for it. And still, in this military mind control system, people say, oh, there's not even a discussion of an attack. Be quiet. Those are operatives, folks. They don't want the American people having a debate about this imminent attack because they know you're against it on average and that you're going to stand up and say no to Congress, put pressure on Israel not to do this. So they just say at Waco when they're ramming a tank into the building and burning it down, this is not an assault. Mars attacks, the Martians are shooting people, saying, don't run, we are your friends, and people stop and get shot. This mind control doesn't work on me. Regardless of what you want to say about Alex Jones, Benjamin Netanyahu is up there trying to get permission to preemptively strike Iran. Okay? That's real. You know, he got up in front of the Knesset and called for it. Okay? He gave a speech. We can play it here. Gave it in Hebrew. I mean, I can sit there and play it for you. So let's get past Alex Jones. They are openly wanting to do this right now. And I can't believe there's so much mind control out there. Now, if we stop this from happening, I will then be attacked and told I said there was going to be a war with Iran 100%. No, I said it's green-lighted. They're going ahead with it if they can sell it. But the whole fake terror thing with the used car salesman blew up in their face, pun intended. So they're trying to green-light it again right now. Face the issue. David Cameron came out yesterday. I have that article in my stack. The Prime Minister of England, and said it's time to start censoring the internet because of the global crisis. Can't have the people exposing his criminality, not letting the Brits or people in the UK, period, have a vote on whether they're brought into the Euro. And here's the London Guardian. UK military steps up plans for Iran attack amid fresh nuclear fears. British officials consider contingency options to back up possible U.S. action as fears mount over Tehran's capability. That okay, here is Sky Television. Here's Alternet. Here's Reuters. Israel test fires missile as Iran debate rages. Who was right again 2.5 weeks ago that the green light? My sources off record said they've told us be ready in 2 weeks. I said green light, 2 weeks. basically, again, not attack within 2 weeks, that any time after 2 weeks from now, it's on. Now, we can back this off. Netanyahu goes before the Knesset, says, I want permission to attack Iran preemptively, because they know how illegal that is, a preemptive strike. The Brits are getting ready. In our news, it's reported that the government is testing shutting down communications during crises. What day is it this month? I forgot. Guys, look at Watson's article, EAS Alert November, where this month they're going to practice taking over all radio and TV, even if you don't want them to. Before, you had to tune to the FEMA frequency when it ordered it to, but it's always, since 96, been wired in to take over. Now they're testing that coming up later in the month. Are you starting to get how crazy this is? But if we're awake to what's happening and speak out against all these wars and takeovers, they may back off. Microphones in streetlights listening to you? Yeah, give me the date of that, because we've been covering it forever. It's November 25th? No. I don't want the date of the article about it. I want the date of the EAS takeover drill. Thanks. There it is, FEMA press release right there, that green link. That'll take you to it right there. Yeah, November 9th. Oh, what's Israel saying right now? They could strike him any day. And now here we are, November 2nd. And the government's saying they'll take over with the EAS alert system. We covered it, of course, back in February. Beck was freaking out about it last week. November 9th. At what, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. So I guess during my show on AM and FM stations, while you're listening, it doesn't matter. You're going to hear the feds come on. And, you know, they're so dumb. They could even attack Iran on that date and then set off nukes here in the U.S. and say Iran did it, bring in martial law. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but things like that are a possibility with this group of criminals in control. And no one will ask, why'd you have a drill already set for that day? And then it all happened on that day. By the way, if you looked at the November 9th, 11-9-11, and reversed that, the globalists are totally obsessed. And I'm not saying something's going to happen on that date, because talking about it can stop them from doing it. Or they may have the takeover drill that day and attack Iran a week later. The point is, he's in the Knesset, Benjamin Netanyahu, calling for this. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's the FCC's website, emergency alert, nationwide test, November 9th, 2011, 2 p.m. Eastern. My show will be preempted by Big Brother. On AM and FMs, you'll be able to hear this happen. And they're sticking their hands down our pants at the airport, now setting up warrantless checkpoints on the road. And Netanyahu says he's getting ready to strike them. And England says they're getting ready, that the U.S. is getting ready. But I'm the conspiracy theorist. I shouldn't be concerned about any of this. No, they want to deny it's happening as they admit it's happening, so you won't get upset, get involved, and get ready. Don't forget, the Money Bomb's coming up tomorrow, 11 a.m., 24-hour-plus transmission with an incredible lineup of guests. You just heard Dave Mustaine. Jesse Ventura is coming up, and tons of key news. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next hour, we're joined by Governor Jesse Ventura. He's not doing any media right now, so we're extra lucky to have him with us for the next hour. We're going to get into the TSA. Where's this case going on that front? Can't get into much of it, though, because the judge hadn't ruled yet. We're going to get into the open calls here. Israel does say they're getting ready to strike Iran. I got that headline here. We're going to get into a host of issues with Jesse Ventura here today. Gov, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Alex. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, I tell you, so much is happening, but... Let's talk about the TV show first. How's that going?
Well, it's going well. You know, we had to change it a bit this year. We've got some new personnel on board, and of course, that ties into my lawsuit with the TSA, so I can't fly anymore, or at the moment, I can't fly. And so anywhere I go, I have to drive. And so that limits the ability I have to get around the country naturally. So I have to do it in segments where I'll take off, like the last one where you and I saw each other. That was a two-week run for me, you know, in my RV driving around the country. And it's rough. It's very tiring. You know, it's a lot of fun, but it's also very difficult. And you don't realize how convenient the world is with the airlines today until you got to get back driving again. But I got to tell you something in all honesty, Alex. I don't miss the airports because I so despise the fact that I have that there's somewhere in this country that if I go there, I'm treated completely like a criminal. And so, you know, and in fact, one of the guests on my shows, it was interesting, an elderly gentleman that used to work at NASA and was involved in various high-level government projects, including Star Wars and things of that nature. He had to interview with me in Vegas because he lives in Salt Lake, and it was too far for him to drive from Salt Lake to Minneapolis. And the interesting thing is he's following my lead. He refuses to fly also. You know, he said, for the same reason, he said, in the United States of America, I do not believe that I should go anywhere where I'm treated like a criminal. And you are today at the airport. You're treated like criminals.
Well, I've talked to bus drivers and I've talked to truck drivers and others. And I went and looked the numbers up a few months ago when I was first told this. Did you know that people on buses in just the last 5 years has more than doubled? And now you see passenger buses everywhere. It's become a booming business. And when people are surveyed, it's because of the TSA. They do not want to be groped.
Well, it's the whole concept of it, Alex. It's a place where in a free country, if you want to learn what it's like to be put under martial law, go to the airports. Because that'll give you an exact feeling of being put under government complete surveillance. You're patted down and you're searched. You're X-rayed. There's nothing you can do out there, basically, that you don't fall under some type of government, oppression, for lack of better words. So it's a place where people should go and learn from it. Because the more they give up their freedoms, the more our country is going to turn into that. And so I urge people, go to the airports and notice how they're run and notice everything that goes on and notice the government control and the whole thing about it, because the more we give up our freedoms, the more we will be living under that type of jurisdiction.
Well, you're right. I mean, I guess you're getting at the point that it acclimates everybody. It sets the parameters for this to be normalized behavior.
Well, it's a cancer, Alex. It's just like toll roads on highways. The minute you put the first toll road on a highway, it spreads like cancer, because then any time government needs money, they're going to put a toll out on a road. And this is the same thing. When governments start eroding your freedoms away, they're going to do it in a slow manner. But it's like a slow spreading cancer. It'll start with the airports, and then it's going to move on to other things. Once they're secured down, then you're going to see more and more. I mean, when I drive across country now, I have to down in southwestern United States, you have to come to immigration halts out in the middle of the desert.
Stay there, Gov. We got to go to break. Let's come back and get back into the TSA, the domestic checkpoints, the Border Patrol, all of it. Straight ahead with Jesse Ventura.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is, of course, Wednesday, the second day of November 2011, on this live Wednesday edition. We're going to do a 27-hour broadcast kicking off 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that after Governor Jesse Ventura leaves us. We're going to have free audio streams of all of it. That's all posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Dave Mustaine was on with us at the first 30 minutes of the show today. Of course, one of the biggest rock bands ever. And when he heard I had Jesse Ventura coming on during the break when I was saying bye to him, he said, do me a favor, thank Governor Ventura for his stand and what he's doing with the TSA and other issues. So I thought I would raise that to the governor. So a lot of people appreciate your lawsuit and where that's going. And before we get into that, Governor, in the last little segment, you were getting into the TSA and you were talking about about 100 miles into the U.S., that's most of the country now, all the way around the nation, they have constitution-free zones. In fact, we'll put a map of it up if the guys can find it. Just Google constitution-free zone, where the Border Patrol searches your vehicle. I had them try this twice in the last month and literally had to have verbal standoffs with them, Gov. So you were getting into that point.
Well, yeah, you know, people need to understand, again, going back, that, you know, our freedoms, if they continue to erode, then they're going to go like cancer. It'll be a slow process, but it'll eventually lead to the death sentence to democracy and freedom. And, you know, you drive around the country like I do now because I don't fly because of my situation with the TSA and my pending lawsuit, and you come up to these immigration checkpoints. And it seems our country is so concerned over illegal Mexican immigrants that they're willing to give up our freedoms and our Constitution to stop them, which I think is absurd and ridiculous. These checkpoints, you come up to them like in Arizona and California, and they're, you know, 50 to 100 miles from the border. And the last one I pulled up to, I rolled my window down, and the guy comes up and he says, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" And I looked at him and I said, "You don't have the constitutional authority to ask me that, young man." And he said, "Well, that's what we're required to do." And so I, you know, and I realized the guys that are doing it, they need to look at their conscience too, because they're out there violating the Constitution of the United States because what their superiors are telling them to do. And it's their jobs. Well, at some point you have to measure your job against your own beliefs. And so I understand they're the knuckle draggers. They're the guys on the ground. But I still ask them, I go, "How do you feel knowing that you're defying the United States Constitution? You're racially profiling, and you're asking me to prove my citizenship when the Constitution tells me I don't have to do that within the United States." Now, if I were at the border, that's different. You're crossing into the country then. But these places are 100 miles from the border. And we seem to be okay with them. I heard now where Obama, not changing the subject, but I heard Obama is now going to start raiding the medicinal marijuana places in California.
They've been raiding them.
Well, that's outrageous. Whatever happened to the people's vote? The people of that California voted that they wanted medicinal marijuana to be prescribed by doctors as needed. And the federal government is ignoring the people's vote. I'm outraged over that. And if we don't start taking our country back at the ballot box, then we're to blame for it. And when I say take it back at the ballot box, stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. They're destroying our nation right before your very eyes.
Governor, I want to go back through what you've just said here, and it's on record. They actually let the illegals through at these 100-mile-deep checkpoints. Homeland Security has put a freeze on deportations, including felons, and Congress has now announced a subpoena. So it's purely about domestic checkpoints, and I got an RV because I want to stop flying as much when I travel. And twice, 98 miles into Texas, I pull up. They go, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" I'm like, "Do I look like one?" "Yes." And they said, "Pull over, we're searching you," and I got in a big confrontation. The next time I said, "I'm not going to be smart mouth about it, basically. I'm going to actually say, yes, I am." And then they said, "Pull over, we're searching you." They had a drug dog, and I said, "It's unconstitutional. It's one thing to check my," because I've looked at the Supreme Court ruling, "to ask if I'm a citizen. But it's another to have a drug dog." And he said, "It's not for drugs, it's for narcotics." The same thing. So these are domestic checkpoints. But we were in Las Vegas, and you were about to do an interview. And I'm sitting there, and I said, "Hey, Gov, did you hear this week? They announced TSA checkpoints all over the country." And you're like, and I understand why you're like, "You got to be kidding," because that is such Nazi Germany, such Soviet Russia. You said, "Oh, come on, Alex." So I showed you on my iPhone, mainstream news. You took about 20 minutes and read a few articles about it. Now that you know that you're suing them for your rights, you haven't, the judge hasn't ruled yet. I want you to talk about that, on whether or not you can go forward with the suit. All this is happening, and now they're announcing all over Florida, Tennessee, you name it, you pull up to a TSA checkpoint with local police under their command. Where's the 10th Amendment? You know about that as a governor. And they want to come on board and search trucks and passenger vehicles. And they're saying they may even search your person. I mean, this is worse than the Soviet Union.
And they're doing this in lieu of what? Terrorism?
Yeah.
So they think that we're so... I mean, if the country doesn't wake up to the fact that terrorism is a fraud... And now, granted, there are groups in the world that do bad things. But for our country to put such a focus on... It's a fraud. It's a red herring. You're absolutely right, Alex. If this is going on, which I see it, you know... like I said, I drive around the country and I come up to these points. And I think that every driver that comes up to these points should ask these people why they're violating the Constitution. Be polite, but ask them that. Ask them why they're violating your constitutional rights. You know, these guys right on the ground, because they need to be made aware of what they're doing, too, if they don't know it already.
Well, behind the scenes, Gov, they're giving a manual saying if you raise the Constitution or you got a Ron Paul sticker or a Libertarian sticker, you're a bad guy. That's the MIAC report. And it's totally, but I mean, imagine... Terrorists could attack a random cornfield in South Dakota or in North Texas. I mean, do we have to have a somebody in a black uniform randomly anywhere? If terrorists attack shopping malls, are they going to have TSA there? They're saying yes. They're now announcing they're going to have TSA in shopping malls, Governor.
Well, it's getting that bad. I mean, I went to Minnesota Lynx basketball games this summer. And I walked up to go in. I have a front row ticket. I'm the former governor of Minnesota. And I had a security guy stop me and ask me to empty my pockets because my wallet and my keys were in one pocket that was bulging. And I looked at the guy and I said, I'm the former governor. You got to be kidding me. I said, do I have to sue you too as well as the TSA? And so it's happening. Now, maybe they have more right to do it there because it's a building that's run by private industry, the NBA or the WNBA, and I suppose they can set up any rules they want. I don't know about all that. But it's getting sickening where you as a citizen have to walk around and worry about what's next. They're going to throw us up against walls and pat us down because we might walk funny down the street?
Well, it's like something out of the movie Red Dawn, a fictitious movie about a Soviet takeover of the West Coast. I'm sure you know, NFL-wide, they've now instituted from the ankle to the neck, and they admit they squeeze your wife's breast, they grab your genitals, and this is freedom. Now, the Green Bay Packers rebelled. They said, this has actually hurt our ticket sales. We're not going to do it. But I mean,
remember, the Green Bay Packers are the only NFL team that's publicly owned.
Ah.
See, always remember that, and you'll never see it again. The Green Bay Packers are grandfathered in, but they are owned, basically, by the people of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. That's why.
They're all shareholders. They're the only publicly held professional sports franchise, to my knowledge.
That's a great idea. We should do something. That's how it should be run.
Absolutely. That way you wouldn't get teams holding up like Minnesota right now. They're bending over backwards, going to raise taxes. They're going to violate treaties with the Native Americans and bring in more gambling to build the Vikings a new stadium. And it'll happen, because here's the deal, Alex. No governor of these career politicians, regardless of who they are, if a pro sports team leaves their state during their governorship, that's the only thing they'll be known for. And so none of these career politicians want that on their resume. So therefore, they will always give in and give the professional sports teams their new stadiums, regardless of the financial status of the state. I mean, the state of Minnesota just got through balancing over a $5 billion deficit over what they did to me back in 2003, when they overrode my budget and passed the Democrats and Republicans teamed up and passed their own budget. Well, the chickens came home to roost. They were betting that the economy would get better and save them. Well, it didn't happen. It got worse. And they ended up $5 billion, which is a great deal of money in Minnesota. That's like almost a fifth or a quarter of the budget in deficit, which they had to fix this year. Now they're going to take the taxpayers' money and build the Vikings a new stadium.
Amazing. Well, that was my next issue I wanted to get to. We're about to go to break, but you know, the Occupy Wall Street folks on average are calling for wealth redistribution. It's not a question of more taxes. It's where's the money going? $1 billion for Jerry Jones's stadium in Dallas? He could have paid for that. Instead, the taxpayers pay for it. This Formula One outside Austin. Meanwhile, I don't get these tax breaks. I don't get buildings built for me. And we see the whole country going bankrupt. We're going to come back with Jesse Ventura and get into Occupy Wall Street. We're going to get into his lawsuit with the TSA. Ron Paul. Jesse Ventura said it on this show a few months ago. He said, Ron Paul, go to a third party. And Ron Paul's announced now that if he doesn't win the Republican nomination, we'll know in just 3-4 months if he's got a shot. He's going to go to a third party, probably the Libertarians. So very exciting news. Could it be a Ventura-Paul ticket? Stay with us.
I'm ready for it.
Well, short segment right now, long segment coming up. Jesse Ventura, I've got a laundry list of things to talk to the Gov about. And by the way, this is probably the last interview he's doing before he pulls up stakes here in the next month or so and heads down to the Baja for some surfing and getting away from, the new Soviet states of America.
You know, Alex, we laugh over that, but we actually start shedding a tear because it's like that's what we're turning into today.
Yeah, it's gallows humor.
And, you know, what gets me is the public's comfortable with it.
I know. It's,
you know, you got this, well, they're keeping me safe attitude. Well, they'll keep me safe. I got news for the people out there. Safety is called freedom. When you lose your freedom, you're no longer going to be safe anymore.
Well, that's a great bumper sticker. Safety is called freedom.
Exactly. Safety is called freedom. It isn't when the government puts you under martial law and keeps you safe, because and unfortunately that's what I see happening in this country, and we seem to be sitting back and allowing it. Hoorah for the Wall Street protesters. You know, I'm solidly behind them.
Now, I want to get into that. In fact, let's just start getting into that right now. I understand their anger at Wall Street, but a general attack on the free market system. What we have is not a free market. You just alluded to these sports stadiums being taxpayer-backed and financed.
Wall Street is not protesting the free market system, these protesters. What they're protesting, Alex, and people need to be clear on this, what they're protesting is that all of our politicians are owned by Wall Street.
Yes.
That's what they're protesting. They're saying that 1% of the population is controlling everything.
And no, you're right.
Be that way. They're the other 99%, and that's what they're protesting. The fact that Wall Street controls the government, the Federal Reserve controls the government. That's why Ron Paul is the only presidential choice.
Well, I want to get back into Occupy Wall Street, the TSA, everything, because I've got so many questions, but specifically, that is the true message of most of the folks, but the media has spun it and just focused on collectivist and communist or homeless people. I've confirmed in Austin they arrest homeless that are drunk and won't let them sleep on the street, but they tell them you're only allowed to go stay at the Occupy Wall Street thing by the city council, and it's the same thing all over the country. They're shipping the mentally ill and the homeless and the alcoholics to the Occupy Wall Street areas to make them look like bums.
Well, you know what? Guess what? They're American citizens too, so maybe it'll be good to see them to show the underbelly of our country and how low we've sank. Maybe that'll backfire on them, Alex. If people start opening their minds up a little bit and realize that we're the richest country in the world and yet we have so many homeless, and let's remember something about the homeless people. What is it, nearly one-third or
I run into a lot of homeless people.
It's astronomical. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But the number of homeless people, the number of them that are veterans is astronomical. So when you see a homeless person, remember, that may have been a person that had to go fight George Bush's wars for him.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, Gov, to be clear, I'm pointing out that they're sending the really bad wino type down there all the time.
Well, those wino types could be veterans, too. After all, we don't take care of our veterans when they come home, Alex.
No, I agree. I was about to say, whenever I'm out in public at a rally or something, homeless people show up, and some of them are like in super good shape veterans. All the time on bikes saying, yeah, I'm living under a bridge or camping out, you know, and you could tell I'm former special forces this, I'm former special forces that. They're black, they're white. And so, yes, we're seeing a new type of homeless person out there who is a veteran and is actually living in a tent trying to save money.
Well, the point is that, we're too busy fighting wars, to worry about what's happening here at home. If we would get out of these wars once and for all and stop sticking our nose into the world's business like we do, let's shut down all our military bases throughout the world. Why are we an empire? We're like the Roman Empire, and we're going to run the same fate as the Roman Empire.
I got to tell you, Gov, I think this is the most powerful interview I've ever done with you. You are on fire today. Stay right there. I've got question after question. I'm going to try to just ask the question and then sit back and let you roll. I want to ask you about a ticket with Ron Paul. He is saying he might go third party now. Big news on that front. More on the TSA. Where's your suit going? The TV show. I want to ask you about Libya. I want to ask you about Obama. I want to ask you about everything. Jesse Ventura.
Conversation, a little more action, please.
Talk about action.
All this aggravation is satisfaction.
That's me. Jesse Ventura suing
bite,
the TSA. We'll tell you where that lawsuit's
bite,
going here in a minute.
And
as Elvis says, a little less talk, a little more action. Let's get back to Jesse Ventura. Gov, there's so many points here, but since... during the break, I said, what a great quote. Freedom is safety. That's as good as Ron Paul's legalized freedom. And you went on to say, well, in your own words, I'd rather face the danger than live on my knees. And then you pointed out, look how many people prescription drugs kill. Look how many people honeybees kill. I mean, to claim we've got to have armed men everywhere putting us in shackles to keep us safe from turbaned men, it's ridiculous.
Well, what's ridiculous is we're accepting it. That's what's ridiculous, Alex, is that the United States people are accepting this. How naive are we? All the guys my age out there, how many of you sit back today and look at the Vietnam War and say, gee, that was a mighty good idea? Where the hell are we out there today? I don't know. Maybe it's the fluoride in the water, Alex. Maybe the Prozac in the water has gotten everybody so numb in the head that they just accept this without any problems. I don't know.
No, that is it, Governor. The sodium fluoride does give a 7-fold increase in cancer. It does reduce aggression in males. The GMO in rats does basically feminize them. This is...
It's Prozac. It's Prozac in the water. Call it what it is.
It is. You're right.
Unfortunately, I've drank well water the majority of my life, so I haven't got my dose. So that must be why I am like I am.
Man, I grew up in Dallas where it was like 2%, 2 parts per million, which is off the chart. And I don't know how I'm still aggressive, but
imagine what you'd be without it.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I'm not putting up with it. You're not putting up with it. Let's talk about your lawsuit.
Yep.
Wow, they haven't even ruled if it can go forward
yet. Well, the good thing is this is the longest they've ever taken on a ruling of this nature. My attorney told me that. Every other one that's brought a suit against the TSA or against Homeland has been ruled upon in less time than mine has now. So maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. I'm waiting to hear, you know, can I go to court or can't I? And my belief, not be able to go to court. This is the United States of America. It's supposed to be. Can't I have judgment by my peers?
And Gov, at that critical juncture, your phone cut out for just a moment. Can you repeat what you just said?
Well, I'm getting another call that I'm ignoring right now, so bear with me. But what I'm stating is, why can't I sit in judgment by my peers? That's all I ask for. I want my day in court in front of a jury and let a jury decide if Jesse Ventura poses a threat.
Well, as a citizen, you, absolutely you should have your day in court. Not only should they find this to be a federal power grab, 10th Amendment violation, 4th Amendment violation, due process violation. I mean, it literally is martial law in their own internal manuals. That's what they're actually getting us ready for. That's now coming out in the news in just the last few days, that this is to be on the streets. It is a takeover. But how could you not have your lawsuit go forward?
Or does what the government wants, they want it to go straight to the Court of Appeals, three judges paid by them, instead of in front of a jury. I want it in front of a jury.
Now, you've alluded to me privately, and you said you're going to have a big press conference if they don't hear your case. You want a hint to folks, or what's going on in your mind if they don't let you have your day in court?
Well, if they don't let me have my day in court, then what you heard today will be mild. Let me put it that way. What you heard on your show today will be mild compared to the press conference I'll have if they don't let me go to court. Anyway, that's where that's at, Alex. The other thing that irks me, did you see that thing on painkiller prescription drugs and how many people it kills every year?
More than 20,000, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yet we banned marijuana. Yet the Obama administration is going to raid marijuana dispensaries in California, and they allow prescription drugs. Marijuana's never killed anybody.
I had a football buddy, and I had a girlfriend who years later, in high school, died on taking too many pain pills. I mean, I know people currently who've died. I mean, this is a scourge. 300,000 a year die from prescription interactions.
Well, let's face it. Rush Limbaugh was addicted to pain-killing drugs. Now, if it can addict a great American like Rush, and of course I'm being a bit sarcastic, I hope you get that. I mean, if Rush Limbaugh, and yet they're out there busting for marijuana, they're busting Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, we were hanging out with Willie a while back. I'm sure you've seen since then twice he's been grabbed.
It's horrible. Why aren't we taking marijuana and turning it? People need to remember that the Constitution and the flag are made of marijuana.
By the way, you know, it was an internal checkpoint that he ran into last in South Texas, 100-plus miles into the country, and they said, "You're Willie Nelson. Do you have marijuana?" And he said, "What do you think?" I mean, isn't that ridiculous that obviously Willie Nelson's got marijuana?
Well, and who cares? Does it affect Willie's singing? No. Does it affect Willie's popularity? No. Does it make Willie feel better? Probably, yes. Why is that against the law?
He's almost 80 and still jogs 2 or 3 miles every morning.
Well, and the point, hey, you know, the point of the matter is, let's take control of our country, let's get our hats on straight, and let's figure out what needs to be against the law and what shouldn't be against the law. And marijuana should not be against the law. If they have prescription painkillers that kill thousands of people every year, multi-thousands, prescribed, and I just saw a show where the kids, the teenagers now, they're not taking pot, they're taking prescription painkillers. That's the drug of choice now amongst the young people.
I don't know how they take it. I broke my leg once. After surgery, they gave me pills, and I get nauseous when I eat one of those opiates. Governor, shifting gears,
yep,
into the election, you said 3-4 months ago and then again a month or so ago here on this radio show that Ron Paul should leave the Republican Party and should run as a libertarian because they've got ballot access in at least 48 states, maybe 50. They debate those last two. I made the point on air and also made it to the Ron Paul campaign that if he doesn't look like he's going to get the nomination by February, March, you know, March or so, that then he should go over just so he can inject real issues into the campaign. But he's going to have a lot more support third party than Ross Perot. Well, now he announced last week, for those that don't know, you can just type it into Google, that he's looking at perhaps a third party run, and that would probably be as a libertarian. The libertarians have said, let us know in the next 3-4 months. We'll give you, obviously, the nomination. Jesse A., what's your view on that, and Ron Paul basically responding to you, and would you run as his VP?
Well, first of all, I think Ron Paul's handling this brilliantly because he needs to stay a Republican to stay in the debates, to stay out there on television as much as possible. So he should cling to the Republicans all the way till they make their choice. That way he can get all the free airtime, even though mainstream media ignores him. Still, if people watch the debates and hear what Congressman Paul has to say, to me, the Republican debates are virtually unwatchable. I watch them for about 10 minutes, and I'm so disgusted. But the other day, I forced myself to watch because I wanted to hear whenever Congressman Paul spoke. And whenever he did, he clearly is the only one that makes any sense whatsoever out of the whole bunch of candidates up there. Clearly, by far and away, in my opinion, he is the heads above everyone else. Now, he's playing it brilliantly. Ride that Republican wagon all the way till they boot him off it, which you know they will. And then as soon as they boot him off it, which they choose their candidate, whatever, then he immediately should jump to the Libertarian Party. He'll have ballot access in virtually every state. He'll have the momentum of the Republican all the time on TV with them. And he should get numbers big enough to where they'll have to include him in the debates. If they don't include him in the debates, we should start rioting in the streets.
Wow, what a statement from Jesse Ventura. I guess it is getting down to the point where this government's acting about like the Redcoats. If you read the Declaration of Independence, everything in there is exactly what this out-of-control government, hijacked by the Federal Reserve, is doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you notice that when Ron Paul brings up auditing the Federal Reserve, all those other candidates head for the hills. They don't speak a word about that. Not one word from any other candidate up there, including the current front runner, the godfather of Godfather's Pizza, Kane.
Yeah, by the way,
he doesn't even touch it either.
By the way, his solution is new taxes on top of the income taxes. Can you imagine, Governor, the feds involved in sales taxes and VAT, the hell of that?
Well, you know, if it legitimately could be 9, 9, and 9, I don't see nothing wrong with that, really. That's less than I'm paying now.
Yeah, but you know they're going to jack it up.
But, oh, of course. And I would like, you know, I'm an advocate of the national sales tax to abolish the income tax, which, of course, was never constitutionally passed in the first place.
Sure, sure, but only if you can completely get rid of the income tax,
yeah,
and have an amendment against it.
Yep, get rid of the income tax and go to a national sales tax. I've been an advocate of that for 20 years now, you know, because my belief is clear. My belief is wealth is not what you earn. Wealth is determined by what you spend.
I agree with that. It shouldn't penalize savings and investment. Now expanding on that, but to be specific, putting you here on the hot seat.
All right.
If Ron Paul approached you about being his VP, because I happen to know there's been some scuttlebutt concerning that. If Ron Paul approached you, you know, running as a libertarian, and said, Jesse, Governor, I'd like you to run as my VP, what would you say?
Well, first of all, I would say this. That would be the best insurance policy Congressman Paul could ever have. Because nobody's going to assassinate him and let me be in charge.
No.
So he definitely, if you want to look at it, would be the lesser of the two evils from their perspective. So I would give it serious consideration. I would not say right now whether yes or no, because naturally I would have to discuss it with my family before I would do any venture like that. But if it were to come to pass, next spring or next summer when I get back from Mexico. If the iron's hot, I don't know. You know, I guess I'll go to Mexico and think about it this winter, and by the time I get back, it ought to be time, if a decision has to be made, that'll be the time to make it.
Governor, what about this angle? If Ron Paul doesn't run, if he doesn't get the nomination, we should all push for that, obviously, using that machinery against, you know, against it, power structure against itself, and he doesn't, for whatever reason, his wife's health, whatever, run as a libertarian. What about Jesse Ventura seeking that nomination? Even if he didn't win, and I know you don't do stuff to not win, but you would still win by being on the field, injecting real issues, and being in the national debate. I mean, my God, that...
Well, that would require the libertarians to come and ask me, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, and the libertarians have never done that to me before, so I guess the ball would be in the libertarians' corner, wouldn't it?
But if you got invited to that party, you would look at the invitation.
Well, I am a libertarian. You know, I've taken their exam. I pass it with flying colors. You know, I am a libertarian. I just like to say small L.
Sure.
You know, I believe there is a place for government. I believe that government has a place in an organized society, that you must have it, where you have some libertarians that don't even buy into that.
Yeah, they're anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and so, you know, I consider myself a libertarian, small L. I'm fiscally conservative. I'm socially liberal. I don't believe that government should be in your private life whatsoever. They have no business there.
Well, regardless, you want to audit and abolish the Federal Reserve. What would you do as president? What's your view of Libya? He's won a peace prize. It would last days, not weeks. Went on 6 months. 40,
you know,
50.
You know what I find? I'll tell you what I find bad about the Libyan situation. Our media and our government had no problem showing us Gaddafi's dead body multiple times, correct?
Yes.
And yet they outlawed showing our caskets coming home from the war, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
That is the biggest piece of propaganda crap I've ever seen in my life.
You're right. Listen, I got sense.
They will sit and show Gaddafi dead 50 times over, the quote-unquote Islamic enemy, but they won't show our boys coming home from these phony wars that shouldn't be fought.
By the way, I on YouTube the other day showed Walter Cronkite showing the little girl with the napalm with her skin burn off.
Yep.
And then I showed a modern girl with her jaw blown off in Sirte, and they blocked the video and called it obscene. No, the not letting the people see what these wars are doing in our name, that's obscene.
Exactly. It's obscene to stick your head in the sand. It's obscene as a citizen and a taxpayer of this country that your money pays for these wars, and yet you don't want anything knowledge of them. You better wake up, people out there, and you better start looking at these wars, and you better start looking. Do you realize, Alex, that my country has been at war over half my life?
Yes.
And I'm a post-World War II baby. I was born in 51. And we've been at war for over half my life. No other country in the world can come close to making that statement.
Plus, these aren't wars where we got attacked. These are wars for the corporate interests that have taken our country
over. Totally. Every war we've fought since World War II, I have yet to figure out what for and what was it fought over. It was fought over the phoniness of the Cold War, which we all now know is a setup on both sides. If you do any historical reading on the other side or our side, or talk to people that lived behind the Iron Curtain, they were getting told the same thing we were getting told. They were getting told we have to stop the capitalist imperialists from taking over the world, while we were being told we have to stop the domino effect of communism.
Meanwhile, the
when
same...
are people going to wake up, Alex, and realize all of that was planned?
It's come out. You're right. They've released the KGB files and others that both sides were being financed by the mega banks who were actually playing both sides off against each other and using the crisis to create massive debt and authoritarian control, just of different flavors in both hemispheres.
Absolutely. And so the point of the matter is, again, it comes back to we as a people of the United States, are we going to stand for this or not? And the simplest way you know, is if Ron Paul becomes a libertarian, elect him president. You know, that's the only way. If we keep electing Democrats and Republicans, we are going to get the same old, same old. Why do you think these people are protesting out there? They're protesting because it's equal between both of these parties. They are both completely controlled by Wall Street. Both parties. I mean, take a look. It doesn't matter what president we have, Democrat or Republican. Our Department of Secretary of Treasury always comes out of Goldman Sachs in modern times.
Yes.
Every last one of them. Now, is that happenstance? I don't think so.
All right, Gov, we've only got about 8-9 minutes left, and I've got 4 or 5 points I want to throw out there at you. But first off, we carry all of Jesse Ventura's books, all of the recent modern ones. We have Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. That's available now in paperback. We have Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, his newest, very powerful. He has American Conspiracies, excellent as well. All of these books are great, and they've all been New York Times bestsellers.
Alex, let me add, too, the TV show this year is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're going after some wild conspiracies this year, conspiracies that I never dreamed that I would ever pursue. But I got to tell you, they've been very interesting, extremely interesting, you know. And so I think people, they're going to find a change in the show this year. But as far as the women go, I think they're going to love the show because I'm working with two young men now that are going to knock their socks off. I don't know, maybe that's the direction they want to go, get all the women on our board for the show.
Well, you already had top ratings on True TV.
And the show is going, you know, is going to cover some very interesting topics, as I said. It's going to cover some conspiracies that are completely new to me. But having done the show now, and having in our third season, I'll tell you, Alex, I'm open-minded to almost anything these days. I won't necessarily say I believe all the conspiracies, but they're still going to be very, very interesting, and it's going to prove to be a very fun season.
Sure, most of these, quote, conspiracy shows they've had only cover Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, and you're not doing that stuff, but instead you've done the FEMA camps, you had Congress and Homeland Security shut down one of the shows, harassment that I'm not even supposed to get into. The point is, it's been pretty crazy, and now you're doing some of the super hardcore patriot type stuff, but you're also looking into some other areas and always running into the globalist as well. It's going to be extremely powerful, and I'm honored to be part of the show as well.
I'll just say this, and I won't say what it's about, but we're doing one conspiracy that if the conspiracy is real, let's say hypothetically it is, it will destroy religion as we know it. That's powerful.
That is what's going on, and I know there's a certain person I need to get you guys in contact with. All right, continuing here, Governor, with some of the other loose ends. You're going to be gone now, probably the last interview folks will hear until he gets back.
Well, I don't know. You know, nobody wants... Alex, you're the only person who wants to talk to me anymore.
That's ridiculous. I've talked to your publicist and people. Your phone's ringing 24-7. I can just call you up at home. That's ridiculous. They put you... Oh, Jesse. I'm just saying, this is not part of your normally scheduled interviews for the books and stuff.
No, not at all. In fact, like I said, I won't be... have another book out. Dick and I are working on our next one. It'll be out probably next fall. But it'll be out in perfect timing for the elections.
Yeah, I can't wait because I happen to know this.
It couldn't be better. It can't be. There won't be a better book for election time when it comes out. Probably summer. It'll be out summer or late summer.
But we can't tell folks the title yet.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
It's good, though. It's the best title I've heard in a while.
It's going to be a book that's very timely for what's happening for the election year.
Yeah, to say the least. Okay, in the time we've got left here, Gov, again, we're going to post this interview after it airs live today at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I want to encourage all the viewers, get this out to everybody. I think this is probably the dozens of interviews I've done with Ventura in the last 6 years, probably the most powerful and encompassing total interview. In closing, you may not have seen it, but last week, the main papal council called for global government, global currency, a global bank of the world to punish the bankers, give the bankers total control. World government is now openly being announced and pushed as the solution. I mean, we're here, Jesse. What's your view now on, from all your research, on who runs the world, the global elite, and what's going to happen in the next few years?
Oh, Alex, Alex, I hate to push it off, but your guess is probably better than mine. I'm dumbfounded over, is it inevitable? Is it evolution? I can't believe it would happen in my lifetime that there would be a move to globalize the world like that. I think that I just don't know how it can happen with all the weapons that are out there between all the different countries and all that. And, unless there'll be rogue countries and they'll just be squashed, I don't know. It's going to be interesting times coming up here in the next couple of years to see exactly what happens, Alex. And I'll tell you, I'm flabbergasted. I can't tell you what I see in the future. Maybe it's because I'm not in a privy position to know.
Well, your knowledge is increasing exponentially. Everybody has different knowledge from their life experiences, but I've seen you in the last 6 years just more and more. You've even corrected me on fine minutia of, conspiracy world type stuff. So you're definitely exponentially growing in your understanding. So don't be too humble there. The London Guardian, Sky Television are all reporting that it looks like Israel is going to hit Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu today went before the Knesset.
What purpose?
They say because they think they're building nuclear weapons, though there's no evidence of it.
So they're just going to hit them?
Yes. They're saying he's asking permission from the Knesset. Here's Sky Television. That's Fox in Europe. Israel considers preemptive attack on Iran. What do you think about that, Gov?
I think it's horrid. The sooner we're out of these wars, the better it'll be for the whole world. I just don't understand why we as a people haven't figured out through centuries and centuries that not much is really accomplished by war except death and destruction. And this will be no different. And always remember this. War happens when politicians fail. So whenever you see war out there, understand clearly that the politicians have failed miserably. And that's how they should be viewed, pretty much, is a failure. Political failure is the result of, the end result is war when you have political failure.
You're right. We should all be thinking about our children right now and what would have happened if JFK would have had nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, again, war is complete political failure.
It is. Gov,
it means your elected officials have failed to the max.
It does. Be safe in Mexico. Look forward to seeing you again. It was great hanging out with
Alex,
you.
And my love to all the Americans out there. Keep the chin up and support the movement.
Absolutely. Support Ron Paul. We hope you run with him. God bless you. God bless, Gov. We'll be right back, third hour.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'll tell you, that was a power-packed first 2 hours. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, then Jesse Ventura. I think it's one of the best interviews, if not the best, I've ever done with him. We're going to open the phones up in this third hour. Toll free to join us, 800-259-9231. What do you think of the total Orwellian society, street lamps watching you, listening to you, TSA setting up checkpoints, sticking their hands down your pants, fluoride in the water, Israel saying they're getting ready to hit Iran. He's trying to get permission before the Knesset, and folks are like, shut up. They're not going to hit. Just let us hit. All that's happening, big, fast, and furious developments on that front. They're calling for gun bans and gun control because of their operation, Senator Feinstein and others. That's all coming up in this hour, a bunch of economic news, the incredible things happening in Greece. It's all coming up. And the toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. By the way, I haven't even really plugged the Money Bomb once today. Usually, we start a Money Bomb a month before promoting it. We usually raise about one-fourth of the money before we even launch it. This year, we haven't raised one-tenth of the money we need to raise to hire some more crew members, more equipment, syndication systems, a lot of things we need to put purely into the operation. So if you've not donated yet, we need a strong start, officially kicking off at 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, or just go to InfoWars.com, and the whole top banner is the InfoWars Money Bomb. Just click on that. If we scroll down a little bit, you can see how much we've raised there. I think it's close to $30,000, which is great, but a lot of the equipment we need for TV, $36,650.93. We need to go to $500,000. Because I've got a good $150,000 of equipment I need. I need to hire a second string of people for the nightly news, because that's a stressful job where they work. I know the guys are working about 14 hours a day right now. And at a certain point with this technical stuff, you kind of get burnt out and punchy. We need to have where one crew does the show, you know, every day and runs it, and the other crew's getting ready for the next day's show with certain things, and then kind of, you know, flip back and forth with who's actually on the deck of the aircraft carrier. They're doing the show every night. So we can also beta test and always get it off at 7, as we don't do some nights because we produce so much. We need a second line here. We, our starters are always in the field, myself included. I've tried to groom people to sit here in the chair, but I guess no one can wear a camouflage onesie like I do. Some of the ridiculous crew. It's all deprecating Alex Jones around here. It's the only way I'd have it. But the office uniform is a camouflage onesie. I don't know why that's so funny, but it is ridiculous. Jaron says, whenever I wear this camouflage shirt, he just imagines that beneath here, I'm wearing a camouflage onesie. You know what a onesie is, like you put on a toddler? But I will assure you, I'm wearing jeans. I'm not wearing a onesie. We don't want to start a new conspiracy theory. You know, I joke about stuff sometimes. Like, yes, I'm a reptoid, or yes, I'm this or that. And then it actually says, Jones admits it. He is a reptoid, or he is a... Charlie Sheen and Alex Jones have come out and admitted they are Vatican assassins. Or, oh, our pressure's getting to them. They came out and admitted they work for the Pope or whatever, or they work for Israel. No, it's that it's funny. It's funny to say that I'm a black magic master assassin of the Pope. The guy that actually says that, and I don't want to give him attention just because it's so nasty, but I probably should. I actually found a video clip somebody sent me where the guy that says I'm a Vatican assassin, warlock, commander, ruler of the 12th Goblin Fleet, says that the atomic bombs, you ought to ask him, I'm not kidding, that the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were Jesuit priests up in Foo Fighter flying saucers doing black magic rituals, firing power beams down. Yes. Now, that's hilarious. That is hilarious, man. I'm gonna be honest right now and admit it. I'm actually 17 trillion years old. I'm actually a reptoid Vatican assassin, and I was actually there at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, out of the bottom of the flying saucer with Louis Farrakhan, firing mega beams down on them.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are 8 minutes into the third hour of transmission. Coming up in the next hour during rebroadcast, we'll loop back into when I was live with Dave Mustaine in the first hour, and then Governor Jesse Ventura. I think the best interview I've ever done. I did one other a couple years ago that I thought was really powerful, but this one was really wide-ranging, and he was on fire. Just amazing. Now, listen, I haven't plugged this today. I mentioned we're going to broadcast 24 hours plus tomorrow. I mentioned that, but I have not pointed out why we're doing a money bomb. And then I'm going to go to your calls in the news. We'll get into Israel saying openly they're getting ready to strike Iran and what that means. The latest Fast and Furious, the economy, and more after I talk to Mike and Rick and Dan and Gonzalo and Joe and others. But I'm doing the money bomb, A, because listeners, 4 years ago, it'll be the fourth anniversary coming up here tomorrow, because 4 years ago, listeners started one, and I kind of ignored it, and they said, why are you ignoring it? And I said, well, I don't want to grow. I just want to stay at the same size and make films, do a radio show. I don't want to be a leader. And they said, you've got to grow in the face of this. You're already reaching so many people. You know, you're some of the best, you know, material and information out there. We need you to stand up more. And I used to get mad at that, and I thought, you know what? It's true. I need to do more. I need to do more. And so we raised $300,000. That helped us move into this office a year later and get all the equipment. We've had a couple money bombs since then. We expanded our space in the next office, built the whole studio, launched the nightly news. It's in beta testing now. I need to hire, I don't know, three or four more crew members, some reporters, some behind-the-scenes people to direct and run the show, researchers. I need another great researcher like Aaron Dykes. Problem's also finding people. A lot of great people out there. It's just, it's got to be the right fit. And so all of that going on, and we're in the face of the New World Order. We're destroying the globalist. We're having the biggest effect for how little we are. We need to grow and go to the next level. And into this depression, I have to spend so much of my time just trying to get the capital together to continue to expand our operation or just keep it where it's at. I remember back in 2008, a well-known media person privately said, "What are you doing expanding? What are you doing expanding your office during this, what's going to be a depression?" And I said, "That's why I've got to expand in the face of this. That's why I've got to go ahead and..." I didn't even try to track down sponsors. I didn't even try to make money. I have started in the last 3-4 years to try to make money. And I've realized we need to be strong. I need to have operating capital for 3, 4, 5 months for this operation. I need to have backup ghost servers waiting secretly to be flipped on if something ever happens to us. I mean, we have an important mission. Coming up on the night, they've got a FEMA takeover of all communications. Never before happened. They're openly talking about internet censorship, internet kill switches, and Congress admits the end of free speech, and the Prime Minister of England saying it, and lampposts that listen to you, and warrantless checkpoints. We're not in Kansas anymore. So it's really elementary. And the cherry on top is, I've never liked to even say buy my videos. You know, I pioneered 16 years ago giving my films out for free. I pioneered because I just wanted it to be seen. I pioneered so much of this, not even knowing what I was pioneering. I was just trying every system I could to get the word out. And so here I am all these years later, reaching 3 million people a day, conservatively 15 million people a week. We estimate the different algorithms and Google Analytics and others that 5 million of those a week are new people that just passively come through, and only a small percentage end up staying and finding out more. But one or two brushes with this is enough with the seeds to wake you up down the road. I mean, that's devastating to the enemy. I mean, and look, I know. I'm not saying, "Ooh, look at me, I'm big, I'm great." Every night I go to bed going, "Man, what a responsibility. I am not that good on air. I am not that great of a person. I don't have all the answers to things. I'm smart in ways and uncannily intuitive and discernment, but in others I'm dumb." So my point is that we're stepping up to the plate. And when you spread the word about the show, when you buy the books and videos and T-shirts, when you support our sponsors, local AM and FM sponsors, when you get an XM membership or subscription, you support us on Channel 166, 3 hours live every day. When you do all of that, it literally votes with your dollars and supports liberty. And now that all of this is coming down right now, now that all of this is happening and everything we've talked about is now unfortunately unfolding, people are ready to listen. And I believe our greatest work is still yet to come. I know that you think 15 million is a lot a week. I know that we're going to reach 30 million a week. And then potentially, if they don't kill me or whatever, we're going to reach 100 million a week. But they know the signal's already out there, and if they stomp me flatter than a pancake, it will water the Tree of Liberty and make people only go out there and look at the tens of thousands of videos and audios and films and material. I mean, my gosh, you think my footprint, our footprint together as the InfoWarriors, is big now. We need to be a powerful organization, just like Ron Paul when we support him, just like Aaron Russo when I supported his film. Have you noticed, I support everybody. This is a platform for everybody. We've always had an open door. We've been stabbed in the back a lot because of it. But it doesn't matter. We're always here to try to give people a boost. Ron Paul said 3.5 years ago on the show without my prompting, he said on air, "You know, Alex, half my support has come from your audience. In donations and on the street, people tell me." Think about that. The original launch of Ron Paul out of Texas, half of it came from you, this audience, when nobody hardly knew who he was. Maybe 1% of the country. Now more than half knows who he is and has heard those alternative ideas. Even if he doesn't win, he wins. If Ron Paul doesn't win, don't feel down. Now the Federal Reserve is revealed. Now the globalists are exposed. Now all this exciting stuff is happening. So if you've not donated at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, you can do it by Visa, MasterCard, whatever system you want, PayPal. You can also write to us, and we'll end up tabulating that in as the money bomb kind of trails off into next week. You can write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. We're also going to, and if I'm going to do it, I've got to do it tonight. I'm going to do some acrylic paintings and pen and inks that we're going to auction off on eBay. I'm going to auction off Tyranny Crusher 2, the bullhorn we've used in the last 2 years at all these events. I'm going to auction off the sledgehammer I used to knock the hole in the wall and go into the next office. A bunch of stuff to get us to that goal of $500,000. And again, that's only 15, 20% of our operating capital here. When you got 30 plus employees and contractors and you got giant bandwidth bills, I mean, it'll probably cost us tomorrow $10, $15, $20,000, I'm not sure, just to give you a free stream of PrisonPlanet.tv for the full 27 hours. That's why as a backup, we've got Ustream, Justin TV, and one other. We've got that page. Even if you can't donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and send this strong message to the tyrants of the strength of liberty, even if you can't do that, spread the word. Go to InfoWars.com. And we're leaving it on the front page. It's down at the bottom now of the featured news area. InfoWars launches 24-hour plus offensive against tyranny. And you go to that page. In fact, we can even do that on air. If you go to InfoWars.com and scroll down to the bottom of featured news, we're also going to get this posted on the InfoWars Money Bomb page. You can see the live links there. You've got the PrisonPlanet.tv stream we're sending out that's in higher quality, free. And then under that, you've got Ustream and some of the other systems. I only see two options there. I'm told we've already got four now, including ours. So we're going to get all those links up there. It is that link that you need to send out to everybody. The link that has the headline, InfoWars launches 24-hour plus offensive against tyranny, because we've had live events that 3.4 to 3.5 million people tuned into. Our Bilderberg coverage on one little Justin TV channel we don't even promote, 3+ mil. It's 4+ mil there now because sometimes we put the show on there and it's had a few views since, but 3+ million in 3 days on one little channel. I mean, think about that. That's a big audience anywhere. They talk about Bill O'Reilly being king of the universe because he has 2 million viewers. One little Justin TV, 3+ mil. I think it's 3.4, 3.5. You can go look it up for yourself. That's because of you spreading the word. That's because of you getting the idea out there. And by the way, they're still lining up exactly who's on. It's a who's who. George Norrie, David Icke, Fritz Springmeier. It's a giant list out there. And by tomorrow morning, probably even tonight, it's going to be linked in this article that breaks it all down. So again, InfoWars launches 24-hour offensive against tyranny. Regardless, spread the word about the money bomb. And the cherry on top is the haters. They're not just angry at the idea that I ask for donations and get them, and that we're building a strong organization, and that we're strong and robust and getting stronger thanks to your vision and understanding and working with us. They're scared of the idea of patriots getting together and building up alternative media, period, and giving to Ron Paul and giving to any alternative system that promotes something other than globalist slavery and the hive board collectivist dehumanizing eugenics agenda. They are scared of you sponsoring the local AM and FM station to put on hardcore patriot radio. They are scared of you giving to Ron Paul. They're scared of you subscribing to patriotic magazines and pro-liberty magazines. They're scared of you visiting patriotic websites like InfoWars.com and awake websites. They're scared. They're openly saying they want to censor the internet and shut down alternative media. Cass Sunstein saying it. It's now in the news. They now admit in CNET News and CBS it will censor the web. They're scared of us. We're hurting them. We know they're criminals. They're scared from the Fast and Furious. They're scared of it all. Be part of history. Choose a side right now. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or spread the word about the 24-plus hour transmission coming up tomorrow. Your call straight ahead. Then the Iran war now getting close. We've got the Fast and Furious. We've got the EU meltdown. It's all coming up. It's incredible. Okay, let's go to your phone calls here. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Arizona. Thanks for holding. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, good morning, Alex. Hey, I got a little bit of information about this Fast and Furious and about some of the big drug busts that have been going in southern Arizona recently. Yesterday, on Channel 3, a Phoenix channel, their website, FazeyFamily.com.
Now, they said it was $1 billion one.
They said it was $1.3 million.
No, but they're saying it's $1 billion, they think, cartel group.
Yes. The guy that was caught, his name was Morales. He was arrested 2 weeks ago in this great big takedown of this cartel. He's a known Sinaloa cartel member. He was turned over to ICE. He was deported because ICE said they had no evidence to hold him. Yesterday, he was headed south on Stanfield Road, went through a 15-mile-an-hour school zone at 50 miles an hour, high-speed chase. They caught him. I think he had like 100 pounds of heroin and meth, so much for your catch and release.
They said they have no reason to hold him, but he's allowed to have all those drugs. Hmm. Well, you know, Sinaloa, in fact, I should cover that tonight on the Nightly News. Sinaloa actually brought forward documents, as you know, in federal court, and the government admitted it was true, that they're allowed to bring in unlimited cocaine into the United States. So how did he get busted to begin with? I guess one group didn't know what the other group was doing.
Something was going on out here. There was taking down quite a bit of the stuff over.
Yeah, in fact, give me that headline again. I'll have that on the Nightly News tonight. I actually saw that, but then I'll have to find it again. I meant to cover that yesterday. I saw that. I think it was last night. What was the headline on them getting him with all the drugs and letting him go?
You know, I'm not sure what the headline was, but they were reporting it. Their website is azfamily.com. You could do a search. The last name was Morales.
Yeah, Morales released.
Yeah, and then there was also kind of tied into that at the same press conference, the sheriff, Baboon of Pinal County, he was also asked about these firearms that were seized in that raid 2 weeks ago. And when the feds came out, because they released all the evidence on Monday, a couple days ago, that that was one of the questions that was posed to the DEA agent. He basically said that he was sworn to secrecy and he couldn't reveal if any of the firearms that were seized in it. But yesterday, Baboon said that there were at least two of the firearms seized in those raids 2 weeks ago that were from Fast and Furious.
Yeah, no, we have an article here by Paul Watson yesterday. Sheriff, Fast and Furious, bigger scandal than Watergate. Over 24 Republicans call for Holder to resign. Holder got up and perjured himself again yesterday, saying he knew nothing when it's all on record he did. I mean, just incredible level of lying. And don't worry, I've got this article here. Dianne Feinstein uses Fast and Furious to make case for national gun registry. Isn't that just special? Making a case for national gun registration, Senator Dianne Feinstein said perhaps mistakes were made in the botched drug walking program known as Fast and Furious, but she said trying to assign blame misses the bigger problem. And she went on to say, we just need to register everybody's guns as if we don't already have a national registry through NICS. She means you have to come and turn yours in and have them registered. This is a deep concern for me. I know others disagree, but we already have very lax laws when it comes to guns. Feinstein, an advocate of gun control, she means victim disarmament. She likes to disarm her food. Said during, I mean, nobody wants to eat a cow when it's on their table, you know, it's still with the hooves and horns. I understand she's a vampire. She wants us tied down. Said during Tuesday's hearing of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Terrorism. And she went on to say that, again, they think we need to have a national gun registry. So amazing information there. Thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to add, Mike?
Stand by your guns, man. Don't ever give them up.
Well, look, the war for Texas independence started when folks had moved into to Texas, an area that Mexico had never been able to hold, Spain hadn't been able to control, and a bunch of people that had been in wars with the natives who were ready for the fight came out of Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, places like that. My ancestors on both sides of my family came in, and a few years later had the place under control and were willing to get in the fights. And the natives were fighting each other, too. It was just standard operating procedure. Came in, conquered the area, and then Santa Ana took over and said, I'm coming to take your guns. And they said, come and get them. And it also started with the British when they said, we're coming to take your guns. That's how 1776 started. They said, come and take them. And so that's probably how it'll start again. I certainly don't hope for it. I don't wish for it. But once it starts, you'll see how cowardly the government is. Working man. The spirit of the radio is another great song they've got. The magic of the radio going out and all these people hearing it, it's just incredible. Thank you for joining us. I want to go back to Rick and then Gonzalo. And then who else has been holding the longest? Dan, Hector, and others. Jim, we'll get to all of you. And I do need to get into some of this Fast and Furious. We already covered some of it, and they've got a new geriatric terror group they busted. It's pretty ridiculous. The feds have come out and revised the economy's outlook to lower. We told you it's a design depression. We told you what would happen with precision. We told you they would announce a Bank of the World as a solution. Look, this is all planned out by the Trilateral Commission in the 1970s. I've been on air almost 17 years telling the same story because I know what I'm talking about. Because the globalists are real. World government is real. It's now out in the open. And a lot of yuppies are like, I don't care if it's out in the open. You know what? They told me it didn't exist, so it still doesn't exist. Like it's fashionable to be stupid. It's fashionable to be a sucker. No, it's not fashionable. Okay? It's downright stupid. Now, I'm going to go back to your calls in a moment, but if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, we'll put it up on screen. If you go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, the easiest place to find the free stream of this daily TV show, and tonight we're going to have the nightly news free to everybody at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, 7 o'clock, then it'll be restreamed all the way until we're live, 11 a.m. tomorrow, and then broadcast for 27 hours straight. I'll broadcast for something like 15 or more of that 27 hours. We got Aaron in for a few hours in the middle of the night, Paul Watson. We got Gerald Celente coming on, David Icke, George Norrie. The list goes on and on. Of course, George Norrie at coasttocoastam.com. By the way, I'm on coasttocoastam.com for 3 full hours Monday night. Very excited about that interview. We're going to cover some really powerful subjects. So excited about that coming up on Monday. I pop in frequently every month or so, but I like the full, big, beefy interviews because George does such a great job at interviewing and bringing up questions with his understanding. But tomorrow, 27 hours kicks off. You go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, and there you can see me just a few seconds delayed. That's our high-quality stream, and we estimate if 400,000 people watch this for more than about 10 minutes apiece, we're going to be paying about $20,000. That's why we have Money Bombs. People say, well, make your whole nightly news show free. If I had millions of dollars for free bandwidth, I would. But that's why we're beta testing it with members, and it'll still be there for members, to put it on select TV systems that are already wanting to pick it up. But we've got to beta test it and get it all done. I'm not a TV guy. I started out on Access TV 16 years ago. I'm self-trained. But we're building the system. We're doing a great job. That's why we have the Money Bomb coming up. So again, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, or there's links at the top of InfoWars.com. You see the big giant monster ad banner. that kind of wraps the whole site, and you just click on that, it'll take you there to the video, and we're going to have a live updated page that also has the backup feeds as well in case ours goes kaput. You'll have to watch on a lower quality Ustream and Justin TV. I'm not complaining, they're great services. That's just if we get 3.5 million viewers, our servers aren't staying up if 100,000 tune in. So, and that's a problem. So you may suddenly see if it, we have our guys watching it tomorrow. If it builds up and we start making other things slow, we'll have to hide that stream or for folks that are already on it, but new folks can't get on. Then you'll have to go to the other three backups that we've deployed. But even Justin TV at one point, we had like a million people on at once, went down. I mean, we crashed Justin TV during Bilderberg. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know with these things. Just spread the word about the Money Bomb transmission. 27 hours of power-packed info. You definitely do not want to miss this information. Wow, look, it does that weird lensing effect when you put the Money Bomb on the screen. It then you can see it as it cycles through. Like when you look at a mirror with a mirror behind it and creates that, event horizon. There it goes. And it's weird how it takes a little while to do it. Look, dude, just off into infinity. Hey, blow that up. Can you blow the screen up and show that? Again, if you're a radio listener, you can go right now to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and you can watch what we're talking about there. In fact, for folks that are going over there to watch it, we'll do it one more time at the end of the show where we go to the InfoWars Money Bomb page and show the video player of us live, and then it creates that crazy effect where it just fades off into the distance. Like, there it is doing it right there. All right. That's it's like some kind of hyperwarp thing. Look at that. It looks like a high-tech landing field for a Star Destroyer or something. Look at that. Wow, that's weird. Okay, that's enough. I'm like a little kid, ladies and gentlemen. You haven't figured that out yet? Oh, I'm in here wearing my camo onesie. I mean, come on, that's where it's at. We got a lot of surprises, by the way, tomorrow during the Money Bomb. I may even wear a camo onesie on air because I'm broadcasting 27 hours straight. I'll have the... All right, I'm not going to get into humor now. I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to stop right now. This is not Idiocracy. This is not Idiocracy. By the way, I called all those other famous people to get them on. Dave Mustaine, Ventura. It was as easy as a phone call. I got to call Judge. Maybe I have him as a surprise guest. Yeah, I need to just make that call, don't I? Okay. We're going to go back to your phone calls, but I'm going to do this live on air here. Where did my Sharpie go? There it is. I'm going to do this live. This is Tyranny Crusher 2. In its lore, we've only had this for 3 years. We already had it as a backup for the old Tyranny Crusher that I'd had for more than a decade. And then that baby went for $50,000+ on the eBay auction. And then they tried to sabotage it, but somebody still came through and got it for 50. So, you know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to have this also on the live feed and posted at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I'm going to have artwork I'm auctioning off. Problem is, I don't want to sell any of my oil paintings or pen and inks I've done. I just like them. But I guess for the cause, I'll do it, some of my old stuff. And then I've been too busy, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to go home tonight and just do a whole bunch of quick paintings and some drawings. We'll auction those off tomorrow, too. But Tyranny Crusher 2, baby, here it is. In fact, give me a document cam shot on this. I'm going to sign this on air right now for everybody, for posterity. The camera right there will zoom right in. Thank you. And there it is. I will sign it. Oh, look at this. Look at this. This Sharpie is dry. Here, I'll draw like a little hound dog or something here. How's that? Draw my French bulldog. Now it's more like a cat. That's not a very good job. If somebody gives me a better Sharpie, I'll do it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I don't know why I didn't check that one. Here, now I can finish the drawing. There we go. This does not look like my French bulldog. It looks more like a bush with a face on it. Doesn't matter. Here. Now I will sign it, Tyranny Crusher 2, right here. Again, for radio listeners, you got to go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can watch the feed of all this. 2011, Tyranny Crusher 2. TC2. That's it. Oops, messed that up. It doesn't matter. It makes it original. Tyranny Crusher 2. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's your Tyranny Crusher 2, 2011. And I will draw an image of who we're fighting on here. We're fighting the government pigs. So I'll draw you a little pig on here. There it is. Has little hoofs. A little tail. And there is the pig. Kind of like a mouse, too. And I'll say, end the Fed. There we go. Now it is unoriginal. Here, maybe I'll do an Infowars.com on here now that I've gone completely insane. Infowars.com. Ah, 2011. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tyranny Crusher 2, battling the pigs of the New World Order, battling the Federal Reserve. Oink, oink. This is going to be an incredible transmission tomorrow. Absolutely power-packed. And you definitely want to join us for this event, ladies and gentlemen. It's something you definitely don't want to miss. The launch pad is InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or find it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, now I am out of control. I'm always out of control. Let's go ahead and talk to, who's up next here? Rick in Wyoming and then Gonzalo and others that have put up with me. Go ahead.
Alex, I want to offer a couple of suggestions and tell you why I was thrown in jail as a disabled vet last year during the Sturgis rally. So here it goes. You could offer some key rings and set up reps in every state, and I would like to be the one for Wyoming. And you could also set up a link on your page. I have several thousand photos that I could submit to you that you could use for whatever you want.
No, our reporters like the Green Lantern have a ring. Oh, that's even better. That's a great idea. We could turn into ring knockers of our own type.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know it, but as a retired professional photographer, did you know the color red, the eye is drawn to red before any other color? So you could start printing your lettering in red so it would be more noticeable for the people. And as I go to the Sheridan VA and I pass out your red pens, and all I tell is the vets there that this is a truth website and they should go check it out when they get online, if they are online.
By the way, we have cut the prices on all of the bumper stickers, pens, all the stuff to get the word out to cost. It is now to cost at InfoWars.com to launch an even bigger offensive against the globalist.
Last year I was approached by who I call an insane person. I walk with a cane, and he lived in a trailer court I lived in South Dakota, and he came up to me, and I pointed a mace weapon at him. The safety was on, and he called the police, and 12 cop cars and one motorcycle officer came in the trailer court, and they arrested me. They did not read me my rights until I was put in jail, and I sent you a CD about all of that about a month ago. But
well, I'll try to look for it. So much comes in. I guarantee you somebody looked at it. I see a lot of the stuff. I'll go, look, the issue is if somebody's menacing you in your face, you have a right, especially with a non-lethal weapon, to flash it. I mean, that ends a lot of altercations right there. I mean, what was the guy saying to you when you showed him the mace?
He is also treated at the Fort Meade VA when I was treated there. He'd jump in up and down and say, oh, I got you now, I got you now. And they wouldn't take a statement from my wife. They took one from the neighbor. They threw me in jail. It went to court. And by the way, they don't use the Bible anymore when you swear upon something. And
no, I know. I know they're getting rid of all of it. I guess you just swear allegiance to the government and to lying and evil. Well, listen, here's the deal. deal, especially somebody who's using a cane or disabled. That's why it's so good to still be young and be muscular and aggressive, because sometimes I'll see kind of gangbanger types try to act menacing and see if they're scaring me at a gas station or somewhere, and I can't help it. I enjoy kind of, you know, bugging my eyes out at them, especially if I'm with my kids. Because, you know, it's just like, then I go into caveman mode and literally thinking about ripping their heads off and things. But, and, you know, going completely ape on them, literally the word ape. But I can't imagine what it's going to be like when I get old. Because I've talked to old people how these punks mess with them, get in their face, do things to them. And that's what guns are for. They're equalizers against thugs. But I appreciate your call. God bless you. I'll dig through the stuff and look for that disc. Gonzalo in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I've just been listening this whole year pretty much. I've been grabbing my silver. They're doing this thing downtown called Occupy Lansing, mm-hmm. where they got people living at the park pretty much right down the street. And on October 15th of this year, we all went down there. I even actually skipped class to make it there to attend. I took a whiteboard because, you know, that way I could say many things without having to carry around a bunch of poster boards. And I had my V for Victory shirt on and all that. And other people, you know, approached me with the fluoride shirts, and there's a lot of people in Lansing are listening to you, Alex. Just wanted to know that.
Oh, I want to be clear, Gonzalo. Again, all over the country, it's in the fetters, it's anti-globalist, it's awake people. They've tried to co-opt it. They were unable to. So then they just give attention to the collectivists to make it look bad to conservatives so people don't get together across the board, regardless of, you know, politics, religion, race, whatever. That's why they're now cracking down on Occupy nationwide. That's why they're attacking them nationwide now and demonizing them. They went from 3 weeks ago them being the darling to now attacking them because the co-opting didn't work.
Yeah, Warmer was out there, Virg Monero, and he was telling us that that we give him hope and all that. And Virg Monero's been on CNN, you know, yelling at all the, you know, news reporters and all that, you know, letting them have it. And I just get so excited when I see people in the higher level than me, you know, fighting for us and stuff like that. And
who was there? Who'd you see at the event in Michigan?
It was Virg Monero, the mayor, our mayor,
yeah.
Virg Monero.
Good.
Yeah, he was there and he did a little speech and everything. And there was a lot of people. Well, there wasn't really that many people out there like I wish there was, but there was a lot more people at the General Assembly.
And, well, I'm going to tell you this. In 1800, there were probably 500 abolitionists, and in 1870, they'd won. So, again, it's not about majorities. It's about being in the right. If 51% of America said, kill people who are age 5 who have black hair, it would be illegal. I don't care if they take the government over and say it's legal. They're now tyrants and criminals, and I don't follow what they say, just like with the Nazis or the Soviets. So great job. Anything else, Gonzalo?
Oh, yeah. Also, the Orkin men are also spying on people who they go and, you know, disinfect pests and whatever. And now they got to report any marijuana smell or anything like that. And also, the Board Water and Light has reported that they admit that there's fluoride in the water. They tell you where it comes from. It's in their annual water report. But our water is the fourth best tasting in the world for all the cities who participated in that.
Well, that's extremely, extremely exciting. All over the world, they're removing fluoride from the water to the globalist chagrin. You know what their response in Arkansas was when a whole bunch of towns took it out because they've got one of the best aquifers in the world. They don't need anything added to it. Guess what happened? They just passed a law signed a month ago that it's the law in the state. Before, it was a federal mandate. Now it's the law that sodium fluoride and all the other toxins that come with it are put in your water. I mean, is that not incredible?
Yeah, I think it's a load of bull, and a few other cities in my state have got it removed, and I'm hoping that we can do the same. And also, I have a video on YouTube that sampled you and Governor Ventura of the Secret Society.
Give us the name quick. Illuminati. We're almost out of time. What's the name of it?
It's Illuminati by GCUE.
Okay, great. We're out of time. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're going to go into restreaming of the video and the audio from today's show at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. It's the easiest place to find it when the show ends in 5 minutes. And Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, right out of the gates, talking about the New World Order and Obama. Then we had Jesse Ventura on for one of the best interviews ever. That is all coming up in the retransmission. It'll all stream until the nightly news tonight. We're going to put that out free for everybody. And that'll stream until the kickoff of the fourth annual Money Bomb 27-hour transmission tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's going to be a big event. Please spread that link out to everybody. Okay, let's go ahead now. And let's go to the calls here. Let's go to Dan and then Hector. I don't know if I have time for the others, but I want to talk to everybody. Dan in Colorado, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, this is Dan in Vail, Colorado. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, brother. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple quick things. Our primary deadline for the Republican primary to be registered is approaching December 7th here in Colorado. I want to make that point. And also around the country, people have to be registered for the primary to vote and support Ron Paul. It's a very important point. People get registered so they can support him. The other item was love to see you have Michael Tesarian on again. You had a great interview about 3 years ago. Loved it. And like to see if you can get him on again. And if possible, if George Norrie can plug your Money Bomb tonight, that would really... There's a lot of crossover in your audience.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the deal. As a host myself, I don't like people asking me what to do and stuff. And that's his own thing. I don't think I don't even want to tell him to do that or ask folks to do it because then it'll just bug him. I'm on his show next Monday. That's huge support to our overall message with his 16 million listeners. But thank you so much. It's an interesting idea. Hector in Texas, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I live in Laredo, and the scuttlebutt is that there's several cartel members, specifically SETA members, who are just waiting for the call to activate and, you know, start their war here in our community. And I've heard it from several different people. And
well, they're already doing it. I mean, they're already killing people. And the government, again, the government ships the drugs in, lets the drug kingpins off, but takes your kid to jail for a marijuana cigarette. That's how it works. This is the sacrament of the government takeover.
I understand that. In our city, just a couple of weeks ago, a sheriff's deputy got caught with heroin, and he was trafficking heroin. And one of our, there's several instances of that, that they have been caught dealing drugs, the cops themselves. But what I'm saying is now that we're actually going to feel it now, because that's what I'm hearing now more and more often. And I wanted to ask you a question about that, because on your South Texas tour, I think it was South Texas tour, you spoke with several individuals that gave you that information as well. And I wanted to know what your perspective on that is.
Well, it's just the crime, the intimidation, the kickbacks that has taken Mexico down into a failed state is now coming here. And it's all because of the phony drug war that's destroyed Mexico and now destroying the United States. And it's just getting worse and worse, and it's all swept under the rug, which allows it to only grow and grow and get worse. I mean, does that answer your question?
I have another statement to make with Fast and Furious and Janet Napolitano.
Yeah.
I mean, how insane is it that this whole police state, you know, we're, you know, patted down, there's surveillance for every civilian, every, you know, citizen, you know, watch your back, the terrorists might get you. But, you know, those who are in power, they can get away with anything. Janet Napolitano has been lying, and nobody...
No, sir. Exactly. That's what tyranny is. They're crooks. Crooks come into a bank and say, everybody get on the floor, and they tie you down, and they take the security guard's gun. Tyrants want to take your guns. They want to stick their hands down your pants. They want to train you to be a slave. It's that simple. I'm out of time. We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock. InfoWars Nightly News at PrisonPlanet.tv. Free stream to everybody. And back tomorrow. Spread the word. It's going to be big.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Gonna be huge. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, spread the word. Paul Revere.